Welcome to Declarations of War Podcast, episode 43. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. Host this time around, Alexei of Card, Ninja Turtle.
Hey, guys.
Deleter from Noir Academy.
Hey, how's it going?
And Puppy UK, who runs the Eve video series on YouTube, Eve Copilot.
Hello.
First off, some shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to Guy Brand from We Love Fine. If you're familiar with them, they're an excellent clothing company. We may have some surprises coming for Declarations of War fans coming out of that conversation relatively soon. We'll keep you posted.
Hey guys, Turtle here. I want to give a shout out to anyone in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. Bronya Boga, who you might know as a host of Down the Pipe podcast, he's hosting a meetup in downtown Milwaukee March 16th. I'm going to be there. I've heard Placid 09 from Podside podcast is going to be there, and hopefully I'll have some Declarations of War and or Noir swag to give away. So if you're in the area, definitely check it out. There'll be a link in the show notes.
Cool. Hey guys, this is Delator. I just want to give a shout out to Greb, Nerdok, and Joseph, and the rest of the NA guys who took part in the Syndicate contract. It was a ton of fun. Special shout out to a guy named Forrest Bondurant, who autopiloted into our bubble no less than 3 times. Probably would have kept doing it, but we got engaged in another fight and he got through.
And I'm not going to give a shout out to anyone because I'm a bitter, angry person.
Hashtag forever alone. Alright, well, first of all, Declarations 4, this episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Eve Timecode. Buy 14 Eve Timecodes, get one free, evetimecode.com, where your business counts. And quite conveniently, there is a link to their website right on our website. So, if you're going to declarationsofwar.com to listen to this, and you need some Eve Timecodes, aka Plexes, just move your mouse a little up to the right corner there, and go shopping, baby. Clean up. As you don't have to buy 14 all at once, I'm told. It counts. Like, so we can repeat customer and earn it. Like a pretzel. Or a froyo.
Or a free plex.
Or a free plex. If you would like to advertise in Declarations of War, give me a call. Or email in this case.
Don't literally call him.
Yeah, please. I don't want to talk to you. Let's be real. Alright, so first of all, we have Delador here as our Noir Academy representative for some content coming up later in the show, but our guest host, Puppy UK, is sort of a big deal in his own right. Puppy, who are you? What do you do?
I don't really do much, to be honest. I'm flying with the NC.
Okay, podcast over.
Good game, bye-bye. I'm sorry, I'm not a very big deal.
Who are you flying with right now? What do you do in the game?
At the moment, I'm flying with NC Dot. We're sort of shifting around in the south, playing with Solar. And yeah, we don't really get up to much at the moment. It's just soft grinding, to be fair. We're not getting the good fights we were hoping for.
Is Riverini's reporting fair and balanced that NC Dot is the greatest alliance in the world?
No, we suck. We suck quite hard.
Are you a fan of Riverini singing?
Yes, yes, it turns me on greatly.
As it should.
Yes, it does.
I think he should be a full-time parody singer. I don't know why he stopped after that one hit.
No, maybe he was worried it wouldn't live up to the expectations.
No, performance anxiety.
Yeah, you know how it goes.
You've done a lot of work with your Eve Copilot series on YouTube to sort of remove the anxiety of getting into PvP for new players and industrialists that really feel like they can't engage with that side of the game. Why did you start Eve Copilot, and how has the video series developed since you first started it?
I think initially the first thing that sort of kicked me off with it all was just the process I went through, not only when I first started Eve, I mean, I started years and years ago, but like even when I came back and so much had changed, I get so many people say I came to Eve and I floated around for a day or two and I didn't really know what I was doing, and I got my pod killed and I ended up in a station and I didn't know what to do, and I've even met guys that never figured out how to undock, and I just sort of felt the first video that I ever put up was actually just a video that I did showing a guy how to, I think, fit a ship or something silly like that, and it turned out it got like a couple of thousand views. So I just I sort of started doing them properly, really, with Eve Copilot. And yeah, at first it was all just very simple missile tutorials, and you know, this is how you orbit someone, and this is why you do it. And now it's sort of, I do quite a lot of very different things now. From like, I interviewed you quite recently, that went around really well. I got lots of donations from that, so thanks. All the way to like the fleets that I do in the NC. If we go out and get a good fight with the NC, I'll sort of edit that and do a voiceover of what's going on and stuff. And a lot of people sort of say it helps them, and really that's what it's all about. It's just getting these new players to actually understand enough about Eve to sort of come and have some fun. And because once you get into it, it is a great game. But seeing it as like starting from page one with no idea what's going on, people just get bored and leave. They want a game they can just pick up and play. So,
well, and I think Eve development has gone that route, especially with the new player experience. Like, it's gotten so much easier now, I think, for new players to really be able to get in and pick up and play, you know, in a day or two. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you also learned how to play in probably the same kind of way we did, where there was no assistance, and if you weren't smart, or like if you didn't have a hand, yeah, you could get lost pretty easily and not really end up with anything. But I don't think that's so true now. I think it's changed.
Yeah, it's definitely not very so true now. But yeah, the sort of tutorial where it is at the moment is very good. It's certainly so much better than it used to, you know, a couple of years ago, whenever it was, maybe a year ago they brought it in, wasn't it? It's a lot better than it was, but it only really goes so far. And I think a lot of the time people either like skip the tutorial, or they don't pay attention to it, or they miss a bit. And like, yeah, I mean, you keep in mind, I started Eve Copilot years ago. It just never really even picked off sort of seriously at all up until maybe like 6 months, a year ago from now. So it's definitely the tutorial. I made a new character like a few days ago, and like the tutorial was really good. But I think still it's like things like PvP, you know, actually why ships are fitted, things like that. And also getting the videos out from NullSec, where, you know, where the big fights are going on, and, you know, playing around with the big ships, as they call them, to sort of show people what they've got to look forward to, I think, as well, is a big part of it.
We've been having a lot of discussions about the tutorial lately. For people that follow blogs, there's a lot of back and forth with Ripartag, Poetic Stanzel, Keldon Levan, myself, Trevor Daydu. Basically over the question of war decks, suicide ganking, and the alleged griefing of new players. And that conversation has thankfully switched from, you know, advocating the complete removal of war decks, and, well, not complete, but removal of non-consensual war decks and the removal of suicide ganking, to, well, okay, how do we better prepare players for facing these sorts of things? Now, there's two big theories. One is, like, add a new kind of Empire space that's, like, so completely safe. I mean, like, there's no agents or anything. They can't really do anything except the tutorials. And they can't bring in or export any goods. And then the other side of it is just improve the tutorial system. And if the tutorial system could be improved, how do you actually get people to pay attention to it this time?
Yeah, I mean, I really like the idea of having sort of like, you know, Jove space as an example, and having space where a new player can start and they're safe, and, you know, you can't really sort of fight other players as such, sort of almost like PvP safe mode. But at the same time, Eve isn't a game of PvP safe mode. You know, all you're doing is sort of masking the game from them for a limited period, and eventually they're going to end up in the real Eve world, and they're going to get their asses kicked just as hard, you know, by whenever they end up there. It's going to happen eventually. I sort of quite like the idea of having you know, is having sort of the, or somewhat of an automatic reimbursement to a degree, where if you're a new player and you're flowing along and you get pod killed, or, you know, you get ganked on a gate and so on and so forth, that Eve would sort of give you a new life, as it would, you know, just to sort of get you back on your feet and get them, you know, this is what happened, you got killed, here's another ship, it's fit for you, go, you know, go back and have fun for a couple of days. just to sort of give people that initial, because when they die, half the time people, like a new player will die and he won't even realize that he's not in a ship anymore, and he'll spend the next day or two flying around his pod wondering why he can't shoot anything in a belt.
Or maybe make it where whenever they lose their ship, it actually sends them an email with a, here's this cache to replace your stuff, and links them to a tutorial.
It sends you a couple of notifications. I mean, it should be pretty clear, like, that something happened. You didn't level up.
Yeah, so on the other side of things, I mean, you know, Eve is a very cutthroat game, and like, I think hiding that from people, like, is maybe not the best thing. In that, if you can get killed at any point in Eve, you can lose all your stuff from in a place where you're meant to be safe, and that's Eve, right? That's the game we play. Why hide that? Let them suffer in it, to be honest. But at the same time, teach them what they're doing wrong. You know, give them the chance to fix it, but don't make it softer. Just explain to them.
Yeah, there's a fundamental thing here. Like, if you're not going to change the nature of the game, and I don't think that you should. I think CCP doesn't think that you should. Hopefully, the CSM will never attempt to convince them otherwise. It's more a question of, okay, this is gonna, bad things are going to happen to them eventually. You know, why put off the inevitable on the one hand? I think probably the better route is to just prepare them for it. Like, why isn't suicide ganking mentioned at all in the tutorial? Probably should be.
Well, that's what I was about to say, is like, CCP has never really directly come out and said, Eve is a really fucked up cold place, you're probably going to hate it for like most of the time that you play. And you know what? I think new players probably deserve to know that, because if you're coming into this game looking for that instant, like, you know, up and running in 12 hours, completely gratifying game experience, like, you're never going to get it. Like, there's, like, played since 2004, still fucking chasing that dragon. Like, you never catch that dragon.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most popular videos I've ever done is a video called The Nature of Eve. And I literally just, I'd had a bad day, and I just sat down and went, look, I'm going to be honest with you guys, Eve sucks. Everyone in it's an asshole. Like, they kill you, you know, and literally just went into, like how many people are in-game just being dicks. And that's one of my most popular videos. Everyone's come in and gone, like, I really love the sound of that. I don't play Eve, but that sounds like something I want to do. And a lot of the new players are like, you're right. It's, you know, everyone is just a dick in Eve. But that's what, to me, that's what I love about this game. You take, like, all these other MMOs where, you know, you die and it doesn't matter and you just keep running back, and or FPSs, whereas Eve, like, it can only, people can only sort of maybe hit people so hard because the game matters. But if you take that away, you don't really have Eve left anymore. But definitely with the suicide ganking point, like, is that a big deal for new players? I mean, I've never really heard of, like, is someone going around, like, smart-bombing day-old players?
Yeah, like, who's ganking, like, fucking Tekken cruisers in Empire? Like, who is that bored?
That's sort of the incongruous part. I mean, I assume it happens occasionally, if for no other reason than just to cause a new player to cry a little bit. But, like, generally speaking, it's not really worth it to, like, suicide gank a frigate. And if you've got enough to put, like, 100, 200 mil in a Tech 1 hauler, are you really a new player anymore?
Exactly, yeah.
In like, the meaningful sense that CCP could think of you, you might still be relatively inexperienced to everybody else, but, like, you're able to earn triple-digit 100 mils, you're able to fly more ships. Like, at what point does the game stop holding your hand?
Yeah, if you've got enough money that, or enough cargo that someone's willing to, you know, take the high end, like the Empire set kit to kill you, you're not a new player anymore. Like, at that point, you're out in the world, you've gathered enough money, you know, you should, at that point, as far as I'm concerned, they should be on their own. Like, I do, like, someone mentioned to me a week or so ago, maybe, about having like a new player shield, where if a character's like less than a week old, and in Empire Sweeps or whatever, then they have like a shield. So if you gank that person or like commit crime against the newbies, you get some sort of additional penalty. So you'll get, like, you know, free killed by all for a day or something like that, you know, where something to deter people specifically from ganking these sort of brand new guys for the first couple of days or so.
That would be kill rights, I think, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't that... Oh, because they've changed the kill rights now, haven't
That's
they?
That's right.
They're,
Kill rights are hot, now, fresh, and sexy.
I haven't been through the tutorial in a while, but like, are kill right, like kill right selling and the like how to make that available, like is that covered? If it's not, that could be a thing. Okay, well, you've been suicide gang. Now here's what to do. Here's where the kill right menu is, and here's how to set it so that everyone can activate it and all that stuff.
Yeah, but you're a new player. Have you got the money to put any kill rights on someone?
They already get it.
They
you
already
can
got
the free if you want.
Of course,
sell the
yeah.
fucking
you can actually sell it and get money for someone to kill the guy that killed you. That's how good Eve is right now.
Brilliant. Then, okay, well, that's that problem solved, isn't it?
Yeah, shit's funky fresh.
Funky fresh and good to go.
I mean, my thing is, like, I think players just aren't aware of it. Like, they're not... The tutorial doesn't adequately prepare them for the PvP environment. It does a good job of telling them how to interact with NPCs and fly the ship around, but it really doesn't prepare them at all for interacting with players. And I get that there's an argument that it shouldn't at all, but I think that that's even a little too hardline for me. I think it should make you aware of scamming, make you aware of war decks, make you aware of suicide ganking, make you... I even think it should tell you to go out into low sec. It should give you a rifter. Say, go yeah. out into low sec. And... You'll get a reward if it dies or something like that.
RVB?
Yeah,
the CCP will never endorse a single player organization for players to join.
Yeah, you do one, the rest are just going to fit, aren't they? But yeah, I mean, like I've seen a new player that came onto my live stream. And he was like, I've just got in, I really want to do this mining stuff. So I slapped him. And he said it again, and I kept slapping him. Eventually I gave in and went out into the belt with him. And he was out in that in one of his little, you know, this was before the mining frigate, and he got suicide ganked, and I'm sat in a stealth bomber above him, like laughing away, and he's like, oh, he came, he's like, oh, my ship's disappeared. I was like, oh, what are you gonna do now? He's like, I don't know, I'm back in the station. I was like, okay, so he's like, you need another ship. He's like, well, he literally didn't even know he'd been suicide ganked, so he had no idea that another player had done anything to him. He just figured he'd done something wrong.
Was he AFK?
No, he was about. He's like, because he said to me, my ship's disappeared, and he was still in his pod, and then I saw him get pod killed, and it was like, oh dear.
I'm sure it was probably pretty quick. My point with RVB wasn't that for CCP to endorse them, but when you have groups like RVB, EVE Uni, like these really big player-run organizations that are pushing that sort of PvP tutorial, quote-unquote, like, I don't know if you would ever get any motion from CCP to really build like a whole new tutorial like they have for the PvE aspect of the game. Because, I mean, those guys do a pretty good job.
Yeah, and this is one of Keldon Mervan's frequently repeated points. Like, he has no faith in CCP's ability to make a good tutorial. That's, like, why EVE University exists. But I really don't think it could be... I really don't think it could be that hard, because you've got player organizations like EVE Uni, RVB, that have done a lot of documentation of their training stuff. Like, that stuff is out there, and it just needs to be in client. You know what I mean?
I think Go ahead, Pop.
I was going to say, I would happily sit down with CCP and do, like, as a million videos for them. I'd literally sit down and do, like, a couple of videos every day. If you could put that in a box, and I could say to a new player, hello, welcome to EVE, you're about to die. But, you know, and it couldn't take that long to go through... The whole tutorial process, and just sit there and record a video, like you can, where you can actually show people this is what you're doing, that's where you're going. That's one
they
of the reasons I love.
They did that for PI and scanning.
Yeah, exactly.
They had what's her name, Stevie SG, voice them over. They were fantastic. They were
they were
three or 4 minutes long and taught me everything I needed to know.
Yeah,
why
not
there
do
more
that
video
for?
Content?
Yeah, definitely. That to me was like the best thing you could possibly do for a tutorial. The guy can just sit there and look at it. They're not going to skip over it. They're just going to sit there and go, oh, okay.
I mean, honestly, I think it's a little bit apples to oranges talking about the PvE and PvP tutorials, because, like, a PvP tutorial in this day and age in EVE is really more a lesson of, like, what's going on in the meta than anything else. Like, the combat mechanics, how you target, how you move, like, these are all things you can give and I think are given in the PvE tutorials. Like, CCPs can really only tell you so much about the meta, like, and PvP right now is just... pretty much driven by the metagame.
Well, you don't have to teach them how to be FCs, but, like, explain warp scramblers, and explain, like, not being able to jump through a gate for a minute after you shoot somebody, explain sentry guns, explain that in high sec people can shoot you first, and alpha strike your ship. Concord will blow them up, but that's it.
Yeah, you're not gonna give someone you talk about to turn them into a good PvP-er. But all you really need to do is make them aware of the fact that, you know, PvP is very prevalent in this game. This is what might happen to you. This is what you don't need to go into too much detail. Just give people, like, it's just so that they're aware of what's going on.
A general list of all the bad shit that's going to occur to them.
Just reel it out in front of them. You're going to die. You're going to get scammed. You're going to get pod killed. Yeah, it is a tricky question.
And I'd even be willing to say it'd be okay to break the immersion for that, because it's important stuff. Like, it's more important CCP retains subscribers by managing new player expectations than it is to have this whole RP aura tutorial element. Like, take them out of the client if you have to for a YouTube video. Who gives a fuck?
I've just had a brilliant idea. I want to see a noob arena where you turn up and you get given a ship and you get thrown in with all the other noobs. And then you fight it out.
The Dead Space Complex that only accepts noob ships.
Exactly. Like, and if the players aren't, like, during the tutorial process, like, now we're going to show you how to PvP, and just throw them in, get them pod killed. And, you know, just give them, like, a PvP environment, like the test server, where they can just go in and kill each other and get ganked and until they're done with it, until they're bored of it.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so funny.
Yeah, more importantly, everyone would roll new characters.
And here's how you would do it, too. You'd have it right after the scanning tutorial. They'd, like, scan out a wormhole, special wormhole system.
Yeah.
That is only in all the starter systems. That's the only only place the entrance is. You have to find the wormhole, then you get in it and blow people up.
Exactly. And, like, if you die, you just literally get, like, materialized into a new ship 20k out, and you know, you died, this player beat you, bang, bang, bang. And just have, like, a little... Brilliant. And then even then, just the basic tutorials, like, these are other players. This is... And you could simulate... You could have two. You could simulate low sec, and you could simulate null sec. So you could put a gate or a sentry gun on there. That'd be great fun. As a new player coming into EVE, just being unleashed into a brawl of noobs would be hilarious.
I'm actually writing that idea right down right now, so don't forget it.
You better put my name attached to that. Puppy UK says, big noob brawls.
I would make a new character to go to a big noob brawl.
Definitely.
Thunder Dome underline.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously gonna have some issues with that, aren't you? Like, you are gonna get, like, bitter vets just jumping in there and tear it. But then that's the.
But you could restrict it. I mean, you can restrict. I'd have to imagine if you're CCP, you could restrict it based on, like, you can only bring a certain class of ship in there, or your account, or you have to have an active mission to be able to, like, find that wormhole, like, tie it into a mission or something.
You just make the mass requirement as big as the noob frigs are.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
Small ship, aren't they?
You then take goons, and goons are going to make 50 new trial accounts. They're going to go through the tutorial, and they're going to sit in there murdering new players.
Wait, shit on your own idea.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, but I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? You're going to get them where they're just going to come in and they're going to get insta-popped over and over again.
Well, that would be an accurate tutorial.
Exactly, yeah. Then there's the lesson we've all been
Ta-da.
Looking for.
There's the EVE tutorial, done. Yeah, I mean, I think that could really work. I think if you finish off the scanning tutorial and we're going to move, like, here, find this thing, get your reward. Your reward is going to be some sort of a ship. Maybe they can just... I don't know, find some way to just give it to them in space. When they go through the wormhole, you just appear in, like, a PvP fit, you know, sort of newbie ship.
You just appear in Fountain and have to find your way back.
Yeah, just dump them into Headtack GP.
We are going to have a second person from Noir Academy in here, and he just joined the team speak. Hantheon T. Clovrisian. I want to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Hantheon. Thanks for coming, you late motherfucker.
Yeah, don't worry. We've got nothing else to do. It's fine.
I'm going to make you sound awful.
Hantheon, do you want to give a quick shout-out before we move on to the next thing?
Oh, I just wanted to say hi, I guess. Sorry for being late. I just had some things to take care of, but, you know, it's glad I could make it and glad to be here.
Shut up.
Well, it wouldn't
clock.
Be Noir Academy if it didn't teach them to be late for op warm-ups.
So how important is it to be punctual and on time in a Noir?
It used to not be too important, unfortunately, but I'm very glad that Black Legion is really strict with the form-up times, because they use Titan Bridging for everything. So it's like, if you're not there at the called time, you're waiting on that Titan for the next fight, because fuck you. You're not going to light a new Sino for two people. So, it's very good. Hopefully it rubs off on the guys, because I've never been able to get them to show up. Well, not never, but you know, we almost always started late, just because we didn't really have enough people where we could go, oh well, these two or three people, we'll just wait and go right now, and they can catch up with us later. No, it'd be, well, we really need those two logistic ships, our gang is pretty well fucked, so we might as well wait the 40 minutes it takes for them to go get them.
I'm 27 jumps out to my logistic ship, where are you guys?
Oh my god.
I think we literally start a fleet, form up like a couple of hundred dudes in about 2 minutes, and spend 20 minutes yelling at logistics.
Must be nice.
I've had to spend like hour and a half, 2 hours prior to fleets, like just scraping people together. Not cool.
And it hasn't always been like that, I should point out, for anyone that's thinking of applying. We're really not that bad, I swear. We have formed up on time quite often. It's just a running gag, because there were a couple times where it's like fleets delayed an hour because we were waiting for people to get their ships. It's just like so frustrating. But that's sometimes what happens when you move across the map like we do. You know, some people, their vital equipment, like that tech 3 that you really need, is 20 jumps away. That's where it is.
Or 4 months down your skill tree.
As the case may be. Alright, so, moving on to some poll results. Do you like the new BC changes proposed by CCP Fozzy? Yes, overall positive changes, 41%. I have mixed feelings, 55%. And no, they are negative changes, just 4%. It looks like people are, I would say, cautiously optimistic. Some of what people are thinking of these changes.
Yeah, I wanted to put in that third choice of having like a mixed feelings option, because that was kind of the feeling I had, was, you know, some of them were good, and then like things like the Harbinger was like, all right. So, I mean, we kind of see it for the positive ones, but there's definitely work to be done. I think people felt that way in general.
Yeah, that Harbinger, man. I'm pretty consistent with Fozzy's. On Fozzy's feedback threads, I don't know what is wrong with the Harbinger, but it just does not feel right compared to all the other battlecruisers. There's just something missing. It's got like the agility of a battleship, not much better firepower than the new Omen, and it doesn't really stand out. Like, the Oracle goes faster, hits harder, the Prophecy tanks better, has better anti-frigate stuff with the drones. Like, what is the Harbinger doing that the other two aren't doing? And if you compare it to things like the Drake, the Hurricane, the Myrmidon, it doesn't really stand out.
Yeah, it's certainly, like, most of the other battlecruisers, I mean, you know, Drake's, Kadari, mission boats across the board, they're used, like, really comprehensively. The Myrmidon, that's a really good, especially for, like, solo PvP, small game PvPs. They're like the burst tank you can fit on them. But yeah, the Harbinger doesn't really have a place. I mean, when have you ever heard, let's go and do a Harbinger gang? And yeah, like, I can't remember the last time I even saw a Harbinger in space. Like, maybe for missions, maybe? Someone that can't afford a Badin yet, but...
Yeah, and where I used to live, we did tons of Harby gangs, but that was because we did all Amar stuff.
But here's the thing with the new Prophecy. Like, it's got a resistance bonus. It's got a drone bonus. The previously, the Harbinger was the option to use for tank if you didn't want to go the Oracle route, which is pretty much a glass cannon. but that's because the prophecy was terrible and no one wanted to use it. But now the prophecy is good. It's the tank option now. And the high DPS, low tank option is what the Oracle is, but it's also the agility option compared to the other two. So there's no drawback. They're using the same weapon system. There's just no way for the Harbinger to, like... I don't know. There's no competitive advantage to use a Harbinger compared to the other two Amar Battlecruisers.
It doesn't really have a good spot.
And I don't know what the easy... And there is no easy answer, I guess. Except maybe make it a missile boat. Which would be cool.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know, really. I mean, they can certainly... It's not like they can't give it a role. The question is what role doesn't Amar have, I guess?
We had a big old conversation about this.
Yeah. And that's the thing, there's no easy answers, and it seems like Fozzy is going to go with not giving the Harbinger a radical role redo. So I guess it's just going to be the redheaded stepchild of the Battlecruiser class, like the old prophecy was.
You know what? I'm gonna go and buy one and fly it, just so it feels comfortable. Yeah.
You know what? Actually, that now that I'm thinking about it, that is what it is. It's the new prophecy. It's everything that sucked about the prophecy is now everything that sucks about the Harbinger.
As soon as we get done, I'm taking the Harbinger fleet out. Done. Decided. I'm gonna get three dudes.
First, I want to hear you say it. Har.
Har.
Bing.
Bring.
Jer.
Not ger. Bring. Not bring. Go on, then. Do it right.
It's a Harbinger.
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 Yeah.
Nice.
Harbinger.
What's going on to the Harbinger? Alright, moving on to contract wrap-up. Gnar has not had a contract. We've gotten a lot of requests, but they were either for large towers, which we're not able to do, unless you want to hire the entirety of Black Legion, and 00 stuff that people are like, oh yeah, I really want to do this, really want to do this, and they see the price tag, and they're like, nah, I don't really want to do it. And then the other one is shitty Empire decks, which normally we would be taking, while we don't have 00 jobs, but now that we're in Black Legion, we're not doing that anymore. And instead, we're killing carriers in 00 and having a lot of fun. So, if you've got a good contract in mind, you've got a couple bill to put down to get us and our, like, all our Black Op equipment and our academy, maybe even a little Black Legion support, if you have money for that too, contact Alexei of Card. Now is the time, with 00 really heating up, now that the winter thaw is over, so to speak, like, now's the time if you want to start throwing down CFC alliances versus HBC alliances, vice versa. You got Solar, you got Razor, expanding territory drone regions. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. Make your ISK work for you. Don't keep it on the sidelines.
I think you meant winter freeze, sir.
The thaw of the winter freeze. Come on. Everyone followed that, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, just... see? You're wrong. How does it feel to be wrong, Turtle?
I'll tell you after post-production.
Burn.
Fair enough. And also a reminder, we will do small post jobs, we will do low-sec jobs, all that stuff is still good. We're just not doing Empire contracts right now because I don't have control of the deck button. So if you have a non-Empire job that does not involve taking down a large tower, which we are not doing till further notice, give me a ring. But that's not to say that Gnar as an organization was entirely inactive. The reason we have the two Gnar Academy guys here, Hantheon and Delator, is because Gnar Academy took a mock contract in Syndicate, and they are here to give you the lowdown on what went on. Take it away, Delator, who happened to get the top kill listing, followed very closely by Hantheon, but nevertheless, he got in second place.
Cool. Yeah, well, we wound up going to a Constellation out in Syndicate and basically asset denial. Went there for a week with a bomber fleet. couple. Well, on any given night, we'd have probably, you know, 5 or 6 bombers, a couple other COVOPS guys in there with rapiers, stuff like that.
I'll rattle off the stats. If maybe the two of you could give your favorite engagement or most challenging experience out there.
Yeah, we can do that. Over the course of the week, we got 79 kills. We lost 11 ships. Most of the losses, though, were early stuff. People just trying to figure out, you know, we had a couple new guys, new bomber pilot, you know, lost a couple bombers right at the beginning of the contract, trying to figure out how everything works. Same thing with an interceptor pilot. By the end of the contract, they were pretty solid, though. What we basically did was we set up a drag bubble on one gate and a stop bubble on another in a pipe and sat on one with a scout and just nailed stuff when it came through. Probably my favorite fight of the whole engagement was we had a Megatron drop into the bubble at one point, and we had about 5 bombers on at the time, and we started aggressing him pretty hardcore, and he slow-boated out of the bubble. We got him down to about 25% armor, and then he was just gone. It was like, all of a sudden, just gone. It was almost disorienting. It was so fast. It was like, where did he go? Look at the overview, 100 kilometers away. It was like the first time we'd ever seen a, you know, micro jump drive in action. It was impressive.
It was interesting to see that. It caught everybody out, you know, off guard, for sure. I mean, you know, there were some things that we were talking about afterwards, you know, possibly bumping the Megatron and such. But the biggest thing to note is that we kind of learned how micro jump drives, you know, actually perform in PvP against bubbles and disruptors and how you can stop them. And, you know, basically, you know, your typical bubble doesn't stop a micro jump drive. The only thing that does is a scram. So I think that was one of the biggest things we took away from that.
So just to be clear, if you've got a disruptor and he's in a bubble, you can still, I mean, I haven't played with the jump drive yet. He can be in a bubble and disrupted and still just boink off.
No, once you hit the edge of the bubble, he can get out. But the bubble will stop him, and a scram will stop him, but the disruptor will not.
Actually, no. I did look it up. I looked it up. I looked through the dev blog. The bubble itself does not stop the micro jump drive. Unless they were going to make a specific bubble. It was called like a jump drive disruption bubble or something along those lines, but it hasn't come out yet. So, you know, I like I said, I read through the dev blog, and the bubble itself, disruption bubbles, do not stop the micro jump drive. The only thing that will is a scram.
Yeah, they're going to come out with this, like, a specifically set of anti-jump drive, like, bubbles, and maybe even Dictor probes, I think, was thrown around. But I don't know if that's actually going to go anywhere, if they like it just being scrammable.
I'm not sure. I mean, that could be a nice way to force people in close. I'm going to take this opportunity to mention, with Megatrons, my first ever kill was a Navy Mega with a load of mining lasers on it. I'm so proud of that.
Another thing that you know, I read on the dev blog was that they were thinking about adding micro jump drives, which I think this would be, you know, a good way to. It was overpowered, what I thought. I mean, that Megatron just boom, gone. I mean, there's nothing to stop that thing unless you got a scram on it. But they're thinking about adding micro jump drives for some of the smaller ships too. So that way, I think you'll be able to get something to catch up to him if you can.
Yeah, if you can. Yeah. If you can see someone about to jump drive, and then you obviously just have to then the sort of the coordination involved in having to sort of point in the same direction, spool yours up at the same time. I think that's a really interesting mechanic. But imagine having like a load of frigates with like a 3-second jump time, like or intercepts and stuff.
Well, that was my beef with the module, was that it was restricted to the battleship class. While I can totally see the tactical value of it, and if you're coordinated enough, like, you could do some really cool things with that. Like, that would make, like, battleship snipers, like, a fairly viable fleet class again. If you had a good FC, they could hold it all together. But what really, like, the ship that screamed to me was, like, cruisers. Heavy armor cruisers, being able to put that module on that kind of ship. Oh yeah, like fuck yeah, dude! If you could have zealots doing that, like that would be awesome. No, they limited it to battleships, which seemed totally counterintuitive with the type of module it is. I don't know if you should have scepters running around doing that because they're already doing 5-6K. But like cruisers, that was the class that I really felt should have that module.
You want to see an AHAC gang dive onto a sniper fleet, don't you?
I want to see zealots with that module. That thought just excites me.
Yeah. You want to see the fist of teleportation rape.
Well, yeah, kind of. But, the whole idea is really cool, being able to shoot the ship in a certain direction. I thought for a while that there should be a module like that. Again, battleship classes, I think, definitely have some possibilities. Scorpions or rattlesnakes was one on my list, and then battleship snipers again. But, like, again, a lot of coordination. And
it's definitely going to be really interesting to see if that starts to come into the meta, if we start to see these jump drives being used by sort of the bigger alliances, how they're going to implement them. We've been playing around a little bit and had some fun with them, but actually deploying them effectively is, I mean, like one thing, the Gila fleets, you guys know the Gila fleets with the sentry drones? That's something we had a really good idea with, to sort of jump the battleships in straight into the line of the sentries and just pew.
Well, think of this scenario. You're all sitting orbiting a gate at 500, so, you know, the farthest distance across you guys, if you're at a big regional gate, you know, very well could be 9-10K. You guys all shoot out in random directions away from the gate. If you're all snipers, what does the enemy do when they're jumping through?
Yeah.
Like, they're just sitting there. They don't have a point to dive to because you're all spread out in different directions. Like, there's a lot of possibilities there, but...
Starburst. Poof.
Or basically any battleship fleet with three or four Vindicators in it, and you are completely safe from any ship with a Scramblers.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, definitely, like, you know, like the old APOC sniping fleets of old? Like, imagine having that, and just as the fleet does get its warp in, lands on top of you, you just go poof, and you're 100k away again. Like, I like that idea, but...
Well, the one thing about it is I believe it has a 5-minute cooldown.
Oh, is that
to that effect? So it's really like a pop once,
just a one trick pony.
That's it for a little while. Like, you can't. It would be cool if you could have your sniper fleet. If they get on top of you, pop the thing, and all of a sudden you're instantly 100 out. Then if they get on top of you again, you pop it again. Like, keep hopping that. But I don't. From my understanding, anyway, I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we're gonna fight. Is it gonna become like a new meta? Probably not. Is it a use? Is it gonna be cool in the right situation? Yeah, but
well, this is back to my original point: is you can teach them how to jump drive, but you can't teach them how to meta.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta have your ear to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys see the jump drive being useful in situations against, you know, ships warping into a tactical? As you're camping a gate?
I mean, who really has a tactical 100k away?
I would say yes, to be honest, if you could put it on something like a cruiser. Because a battleship, spool up time 12 seconds, plus however long it's going to take you to... Well, no, just a spool up time of 12 seconds, you know, you're going to get away from that. If you put it on something like a cruiser... You could catch shit at tacticals.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, how many times have you gone, oh, I've got a warp in right next to that guy, and ended up like 50 or 60k away from him? But the other thing is, a battleship, even if you did like pound up to a tactical, whatever's going to be up there, chances are, you know, the battleship's not going to catch it in time anyway.
Two words, bombing run.
That would be awesome.
Boom, motherfucker.
Now that would, you know, if you had like bombers with little micro warp drives, that's something. I mean, that really is the key to bombing, right? You get your bomb off and get the fuck out before you get caught. If you could have like a pre-spooled micro warp drive, so you count to 10 seconds, decloak, fire in the micro warp drive, the jump drive kicks in and you go poof.
That would be amazing. Think about it. You could actually decloak, hit the micro jump drive, pop your bomb, target something, target paint it, and then hopefully your bombs hit right before the drive goes off.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's a really cool idea. I mean, it's a great concept that has a lot of implications and, like, good ideas for a lot of ship classes. I wish it was something that they CCP like would focus on. I feel like it's going to be something that's going to be dumped out in like a point release, and it would be cool to see it as like maybe a more expanded version of it on some sort of feature release.
I think they're treading carefully, aren't they? Putting it on the battleships is, you know, testing the water. If this goes, maybe they've got that in mind. I don't know. I think rather than dumping it out to just every ship available in all different sizes immediately, maybe limiting
size. But that's exactly what they don't have to do. Is you don't have to dump it out to every ship, but
yeah,
don't have to restrict it to battleships.
Yeah, I mean, we may well see it coming out in, you know, in smaller versions soon. I think it would be cool.
We've seen them test trivial things for much longer periods of time. Like, I don't think it's too much to ask that if they were to make something big out of this, that they would take their time to do it.
Yeah, and that's one of the, I think that's definitely works in their favor as well. That I hate the thought of all these little. I love the idea of like a little, like a whole fleet just starbursting off a gate. But
it would be very interesting, especially if they forgot to bring interceptors, like some people do.
That's the other thing, isn't it? I suppose you can always. Yeah. But that's the thing, like, your mind just wanders, doesn't it, to all the cool things you could do with. I mean, could you, if you had a Cov Ops, could you jump drive while you were cloaked?
And these are all the things.
Ooh, I just thought. Yeah. Micro jump drive Black Ops battleships.
Or maybe, you know what?
Bubble
maybe
me now,
that's...
motherfucker.
Well, yeah, maybe that's the buff that Black Ops needs, is some sort of roll bonus with the jump drive, reducing spool time or, you know, increasing range or something, you know?
It'd be interesting. I mean, no ship has a roll bonus to that right now. There is no ship class or ship skill or ship tree. Nothing interacts with the micro jump since it's so new. So there's like a whole new avenue
bonus
of CCP to apply that sort of bonus to. I think Black Ops would be a great choice.
Gotta wonder if Fozzy doesn't see that coming down the line. I mean, Black Ops aren't going to be on the table for a while, but
when I first heard micro jump drive, I had an image of like frigates and cruisers jumping to covert sinos, and I was really happy. I was like, oh my god, this can be so much fun. I'm gonna get all my noobs and just get a Black Ops and just throw frigates around all day long. But all
right, I'm going to bring this back to the NAR Academy contract. So this was NAR Academy's first independent deployment since we started doing them full-time under Linetail's leadership. How do you guys think it went overall, like as a training tool? What would you guys do the same? What would you do differently?
I think it went pretty good. I mean, we learned a ton of stuff during this, especially since the very first day when we actually went out, Linetail and Brozaw both came out, and they actually kind of got us set up initially with, you know, the first camp we basically did. Yeah, Brozaw scouted for us, and Linetail played the rapier so that, you know, he could basically tell us what to do, even though we were technically FCing. And after that, they pretty much just cut us loose and let us do our own thing. I mean, initially, you know, we had a lot of newer players, you know, that hadn't actually been in NA very long. So we'd do a bombing run and we'd have one or two of them and the bombs wouldn't go the right way. You know, when you've got three bombers because it's late at night and two bombs hit a target and the third one doesn't, stuff just doesn't die. So, I mean, we learned a ton about bombing, and what we wound up doing was just bringing out, I think we brought out like 175 bombs, and we used 175 bombs over the course of a week, just blowing up everything that came through. We bombed things that we knew we couldn't kill just to try to bomb it, torp it. You know, learn every possible mechanic we could playing with the bubbles and with the bombs just to make ourselves better. I would guarantee all those NA guys that were there now, if you line them up to bomb anything, they're going to hit it.
Well, believe me, I'll be lining them up for all kinds of shit. It's really good that you guys took that approach. I mean, I was very happy to see that you guys realized that you had a certain amount of numbers. And that you're like, okay, how do we maximize the number of people we have? And you sort of drifted to bombs. You took the steps that, and without really, as far as I know, the NAR Academy trainers super guiding you or really helping you out to that extent. You said, okay, bombers, use bombs. That's like a good way for us to make good use of only a few of us being around. And like you said, you got the bomb shipped out. You started bombing every time, and you just did it over and over till you guys got it down. Like, that shows a lot of independent thinking, shows a lot of adaptability, like, on the fly. And I think you guys made good use of knowledge of game mechanics and some of the principles we were trying to teach you.
Like I said, it was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot. I mean, at the beginning of the week, it was pretty rough, but by the end, you know, we were starting to try to do more advanced things. You know, we were, you know, planning where they were going to come in at. We were planning bombings on gates, you know, for them warping to the gate. We were to set the bomb tacks up, you know, a few more KOA so we could align out in torp right after bombing target pain right after bombing to get the most damage. We were trying to get as much out of it as we could.
And for the audience listening at home, you were also not able to dock. Like, even though it was Syndicate, you guys had a rule that you were not allowed to dock and switch ships. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, it was tough, you know. But without Delator brought a lot of his supplies, I guess, if you will. He brought Pos, he brought his Thanatos out there, and that was helpful. That was great. Nonetheless, we weren't able to dock up. We had to bring all the supplies out and just keep feeding ourselves, you know, bombs and torps. And so it was tough not being able to dock, but we managed and we got through it. So
I think that's certainly going to be a very useful lesson for you guys down the line, especially when you're out in Nullsec. That's going to be a common thing, I guess, isn't it? So.
Yeah, I mean, Mara's rarely been able to dock on our Nullsec contracts, and it is, I mean, I love it. I think it's a lot of fun. You know, you're sort of thrown up against the elements, and your options are really limited, and you have to make that work in a very inventive way sometimes. I think it's a lot of fun, and I love the local tears of people like, man, get out of my space! Why are you always here? Stop camping me!
Why can't I mine?
www.noirarcloakyfaggots.com.
Yep. So, it's definitely like a core competency of the corp, and it's one of those things that's really hard to teach until you actually go out there and do it. Because, you know, people just go, oh, well, I'll just be in the one ship, that's fine. You don't really appreciate the range of situations you run into in a week out in 00. And to not be able to change your fleet type, change your ship, change your fitting, it really, like, you just need to learn to deal with that and love it.
Once you get into the swing of things, and you know you've got the carriers out for the fittings and got your chain sorted out, and it can become reasonably livable.
Well, they cheat the carrier. We usually don't have one of those.
Oh, do we? Oh.
Well, actually, I won't say cheated, because now that Delator has that capability, you can feel free to bring on an actual contract too. But
yeah,
alt carriers, we don't have that many. Most of our carriers are on mains, so most times we haven't had that capability.
Yeah, the only way I got that actually approved was because I had done the exact same thing on the Impasse contract. So that was the only reason they actually let me do it. Because I asked going into it if it was be okay if I basically cheated.
I don't see that as cheating.
No, I don't either. I mean, even in a contract, you know, where there really isn't a station, I mean, if you park your POS and your carrier out there in a good place, you know, it's definitely doable, I think.
I think Captain Kirk would call it unconventional thinking.
I mean, I'll say sort of. I mean, we have bombers against us like quite regularly. Something just died in my house, and they get it wrong. Like, this is the guys we're fighting at the moment. Sometimes can't get all their bombs in the right place. We've seen bombers from the hostiles micro warp drive into their own bombs and still cock it up. So if you guys are getting that right, you know you're doing it good.
English, doing it well.
You're doing it good, Broseph.
I mean, the only thing I could think of that really we could have changed, you know, and not had brought the carrier out there is, you know, we just bring a whole bunch of bombs. I mean, that was really all we used it for. Once we were out there and settled in, I mean, all we really used it for was bringing ammo. You know, we just it was our first contract. I think, you know, we kind of underestimated how much ammunition we were going to need. But now we know, you know, now we know how much to use and how much to bring, so.
Yeah, when we're in deep 00, you know, everything's cyno-jammed. We often use wormholes and blockade runners for ammunition runs for the same purpose. So it's good that you guys got a taste of that.
That's how I initially set it up. Whenever I actually went out a day early, and I got lucky, and there was a wormhole one system out from the staging system where I wound up parking my carrier, and I actually ran a blockade runner through the wormhole to set up the first four cans with like 39,000 of each type of torp.
You guys cut through 39,000 torps?
No, we got we probably had 20,000 of each left.
I was gonna say, holy shit!
Yes.
Alright, well, welcome back, guys. Now you're joining the rest of Black Legion down in Soft, is that correct?
Yeah.
Good times down there. We will probably talk about that on the next podcast if we don't have something better to discuss. So, as of right now, we're still a developing situation. Black Legion moved from Venal to a new deployment system, and we're killing stuff, which is always fun. Moving on to this week, Mercs. Really only one story to talk about. Merc Contracts Channel Operator and Merc Veteran from Wormholes. Cheats of Jason, founder of Narwhals Ate My Duck, founder of Exhale. He has launched a CSM campaign. He will try to be, I guess, the Wormhole and Mercenary candidate. Which is a very interesting and I think a compelling coalition as far as his chances to get elected.
I think I'm going to go to the CSM with a... I'll do another sex talk video if you make me a CSM.
If you that make me a CSM.
That should be your campaign post.
Definitely. Do another sex talk video and I'll put it for you.
I'm just going to do it. Well, I'm just going to write it once on the forum and just see if it happens.
Obviously. The field is kind of weak. I'm going to be talking about that in a couple minutes, but... Good luck to Cheetza. I don't think he'll need it. The only way I think he'll run into trouble is if there's a wormhole primary and he's not the guy that wins it. But I'm pretty sure Cheetza will have enough support. The last time I looked, he had the largest wormhole coalition. And he's certainly got, like, as far as PvP experience in wormholes, he's probably the most knowledgeable person I know. Maybe him and Lord Maldoror. From Rooks and Kings, like he's that good. So much props. Eve news. Four items to discuss. Goons and Test have had a friendly reset in response to the building tensions we talked about in the last podcast. Basically, they went right up to the brink of war, and Pandemic Legion's Shadoo talked both sides out of it. Mostly Test. I think the promise of Sov grinding the entire north was enough to discourage any further aggression. Because, yeah, that would not be fun.
I call shenanigans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think that it's all just a little show. I don't think they're ever going to war.
I think it served a real purpose, though, the reset. You know, I think that was definitely a pressure valve for the tensions that was going on. And you know, I think it served its place. I mean, when I heard that they reset, I had friends in Test, and then I asked somebody in Goons a few hours after it happened to find out that it was a mutual reset. And I got really excited, and I thought of it for a minute. I was like, well, yeah, this really doesn't mean much. Like, Diplos are going to have an easier time talking to, or not talking, I guess, now to people that are getting blown up. You know, but it doesn't really mean much, because nobody's, is like you said, wants to... do a salve grind through the entire north. So
the problem is that, you know, exactly like that, you know, if there's a big firework, the dust settles and nothing's changed. The big blue donut of love is still in place and it's still firmly shoved right deep in Null.
Well, I think the tension was real. I mean, it was real on a member level. Like, there was viscerally some problems developing.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that, but I don't think that's really going to get fixed. I think yeah, there are a lot of there's certainly a lot of characters between the two alliances, and they're gonna bump heads. It's the delicatest way I could put it. The word "fuck nut" didn't seem appropriate. You can edit that bit out. But yeah, I mean, that's not going to go away, though, is it? They're going to have a fight, they're going to, you know, cuddle again, and eventually they're going to start... The friction's just going to build up again, but...
You're right. It's not going to go away, but that doesn't mean Montolio has to be in charge.
That's true.
Yeah, what do you make of him stepping away, allegedly temporarily? But we'll see if that's the case.
I think personally I may have overestimated Test's leadership structure. There's probably some good mid-level guys, but reading something Mitani wrote, Vile Rat that wrote it, but he said, you're a poor supervisor, and he explained why, and if anybody that read that article will remember that, because it was probably the most poignant part of that article. He's like, he is a bad supervisor. Like, he's just, like, pulling fire alarms left and right, like, as he's walking through the hallways kind of supervisor.
Yeah, Montolio never was the same kind of leader that, say, Mitani is. But that said, a guy like the Mitani leading Goonswarm is a rarity. Like, he's the most stable and I think by far the most capable top guy Goonswarm has ever had. Like, he's a real student of real, like, real politique. He's shrewd. He loves the lulls, and he loves causing drama and all that stuff, but it's always calculating. And I think that was an element that Goonswarm had always lacked up to that point. They had a lot of great leaders, and you have to be to lead an organization that big. But it was never somebody that really saw the galactic level politics and felt that they could so easily manipulate it, like Lelouch style.
I think Goonswarm has definitely come a long, long way. I mean, when I first heard of Goons, like when I first saw Goons in Eve, they were just like that joke alliance that didn't really do anything. And, you know, whereas you look at where they are these days, and they have, like, to me, I've seen Goons come from what is essentially the laughing stock that used to draw penises in space out of ships and not really do much else, to what they've become today. And that's definitely got to take some work. I mean, I ran an alliance for about 6 or 7 months, and it is hard work, and I don't like doing it. It's, you know, to run an alliance of that size, it takes certainly a unique sort of person to be able to handle that sort of stuff.
It should be noted that they do still draw penises in space, though.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Except now all the ships are Titans, so it's penises made out of penises.
It's super cat penises, yeah.
A meta penis.
Ego penis.
Right, a on. Super ego, if you will.
Oh, kaboom.
Speaking of supers, shortly after the reset, ironically, there was an enormous fight, possibly, I don't know if it was the biggest, but certainly a contender for biggest fight in EVE Online ever. There was some faction warfare posse about to come out of Reinforced. I think it was a Cobalt Moon. Some LevSec alliance attacking a faction warfare boss. Goons knew about it. Goons were going to drop on them for the lulls. And the big red boat accidentally pressed jump instead of bridge. And so his Titan appeared in the middle of nowhere in LevSec with no support fleet. And of course, got tackled. And as things escalated, Pandemic Legion got called in because it was only one jump away from where their supers were being held. Once Goons saw Pandemic Legion's super fleet committed, they said, oh shit. And they decided to commit their own fleet to try to kill the PL fleet now that they were reset. And that led PL to then escalate even further by bat-phoning literally every entity that was not involved in the game. And just hundreds of alliances participated, over 3,000 pilots. Titans were killed, supercaps were killed, tons of dreads and carriers, oh my god.
And I missed it because I was at Nando's with my girlfriend.
Sacrifices you make for love, my friend.
We've split up since I hit her with a brick wrapped in a Titan kill mail. No, I mean, that. Well, I, it, the NC sort of got, we literally got called in, but we got back phoned by PL and dropped quite a few on, and the stories coming out from that. I mean, if you've seen the video, I'm sure we can link the videos to that. It looked like an amazing fight. I mean, it's one of those that's going to be talked about for a long time. And Eve, three Titans dead, I think, wasn't it, in one fight that went on for 5 hours as well?
Yeah, because it was tie dye was maxed out for the majority of the fight. So yeah, anything that, like, anything you were trying to do took 10 times as long as it should. I was actually at the fight, but due to the tie dye in the system, I was not able to actually get Cyanard in until really the only thing left kill was, I think it was a Nyx and a Avatar, and then I disconnected on the way in, so I had to relog in tie dye, which took easily 10 to 15 minutes. By the time I got in there and figured out where a good place to warp was, because everything was going in slow motion, and our own fleet was trying to warp away from where they currently were, I got in on the Avatar kill mail, and that was it.
A more graceful degradation, as Master Plan put it.
Yes.
And it really was. Like, I could launch drones, and it would take 10 minutes to launch them, but they would in fact launch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think tie-dye, like, a lot of people complain about it, but you've got to remember how Eve was before. You remember sitting on a gate and logging in 20 times and hitting the jump button and disconnecting. And, like, it's definitely a massive improvement, but it's something you don't... It's a lesser of two evils, isn't it? You'd love to not have it, but I think one of the guys in the NC that had a super on the field was saying he was literally watching his bombers, like, slowly move across the screen, like, not really getting anywhere, and the ship would die before they got to it. You'd watch them move across the screen again. But, I think a lot of the decisions made, like, in fleet fights, a lot of the, fleet fights are won and lost by decisions, and time dilating stuff that heavily gives people so much time to look at everything, I suppose.
But it's duplicitous, because it's not like you can react. Or, like...
Yeah, true, true.
I mean, so much happens.
It's a mutual advantage, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that, and so much happens, like, that's out of your control. I mean, like, people dropping and black screening and not being able to log in, and, like, yeah, you can see something happening and then you have time to react to it, but it's a false sense of time, really, because if it takes you 10 minutes to decide, it's going to take you 20 minutes now to launch your drones instead of 10.
Like, yeah, true.
I find it very disorienting because I'm so not used to it. I think it's really only the second time I've been in severe tie-dye. And it's difficult. I couldn't imagine FCing in it because there's so much delay between when you make a decision and call out an order and seeing the results of it.
Yeah, it's like primary is puppy, go get a cup of tea, come back. Right,
yeah, and you're still not sure if the logistics are holding or if people just haven't locked him yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's interesting. But that fight, I mean, I'm looking at the statistics now of like the total ships lost. And I can't think of a time where there's been a bigger fight, or I can't think of a fight where more has been lost.
There was the Valentine's Day Supercat massacre earlier, but I don't think that beat this one out. I'm 100% sure. I know it didn't beat it out for participating characters.
And that as well, that's something tie-dye's sort of really brought in. Having, I think someone said there's at least 2,500 people on the grid at one time, and that's pretty unheard of. Before tie-dye, that would never have happened.
And by the way, all effects on.
Yeah,
like,
oh yeah.
We're linking a video in our show notes here. It was recorded. I participated in the fight. I had all my... Well, not all. I had, like, drone models turned off. But, like, laser effects, ship explosions, missile effects, engine trails, all that stuff was on. And it was fine. Aside from the tie-dye, I experienced no problems.
Yeah, I mean, performance. If you've got the PC for it, I'd say maybe some machines that can sort of play Eve quite happily on a day-to-day would maybe have struggled a little bit, but...
No, I don't know. My PC isn't that epic, but I mean, if you thought about before, again, like you said, how Eve was before, when you were going into a fight, you had to turn off all that stuff. You had to turn off brackets, you had to turn off turrets, you had to turn off ship explosions, you had to turn off this, you had to turn off that. So basically, you were looking at nothing but a really low-res version of your ship.
You just want to turn off the rendering button, don't you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just the spreadsheet, please. Thank you.
Yeah. In fact, can I get this in 2D?
It is spreadsheets in space.
Yeah. No, I think... But you see, the thing is, again, like we were saying earlier about the reset, this massive fight's come along, like biggest fight in EVE, billions of... And what's happened for it? What was gained? We're just right back where we started. Nothing's moved.
Well, the totals were non-goons lost like 80-something billion, and Goonswarm slash Clusterfuck Coalition lost over 300 billion.
Yeah.
But I think the real winner of the fight is EVE. Period, to prove that our servers could do this, and EVE got a lot of press out of it, and just the memories of everyone that was able to get there. I mean, even I was able to get there, and I haven't been in a fight like that. Will now go down as the biggest fight I will probably ever be in.
And I was in the alliance that was bat phone first, and I missed it.
But how was that chicken?
It was good. Nando's is excellent, I'm not gonna lie.
So while this was going on, there was an entirely different fight, pretty much around the same time, though, going on in an Empire system called Poynon. Actually, no, it wasn't the same time. I think it was the day after. But around the same time of day. And that was a pre-skirmish red versus blue event where they just blew up a couple thousand ships in Empire all in one system. It looked like Burn Jita on the map, just this huge, big snowball. Red, beautiful, destroyed ships. Just, oh.
Was there a reason for that? Did they...
Shits and giggles.
Ah, most valid reason of all.
I have no idea what the reason was, but I think it was just so they could have a really big event. And they moved like all kinds of frigates and destroyers in ahead of time so people could reship easily. And they just went at each other over and over and over and over and over again for the better part of a day.
Yeah, I think they said the goal was to kill 28,000 ships.
Freaking awesome. Red versus blue, a lot of fun. Like, I think that's probably the best way to get up and go PvP in EVE right now. Hands down.
Yeah, I had that conversation literally a couple of days ago about red versus blue, sort of EVE Uni versus sort of, you know, sort of NPCing. And yeah, I think some people have sort of come out of red versus blue saying, you know, it's a little bit, they sort of get treated a little badly as a new player, or maybe even yelled at by a few bit of vets, I think is more the case. But I think
well, it's a melting pot, you know. You've got new players coming in trying to learn the PvP. You've got burned out vets that just want to have fun. And they don't want to have, like, quote, noobs bring them down, you know.
Yeah, and I think... Whereas EVE Uni is, I think, maybe... I think if you know you're coming into EVE and you just want to kill other people, like that's what you want to do, that's why you're coming into EVE, then, yeah, maybe I would say red v blue would probably be a... Definitely a good play. You're going to become a PvPer, aren't you? Let's put it that way. You're going to get the PvP. Whereas, I think EVE University's probably got the more sort of general, sort of, just sort of the full coverage, you know, become a good player sort of thing.
Well, Red versus Blue doesn't try to pretend that it's a training thing of any kind.
No, but
whereas
I mean,
EVE University is specifically to teach you the game.
Yeah, but you look at your bombing academy, you know, that just came out. That's how you learn, isn't it? You know,
that's because we're better than EVE University, of course.
Of course, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Hear that, Keldu?
Yeah, suck it. Not that we're biased at all here on.
No, this is scientific, just like our polls.
The internet's prove it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can tell by the pixels.
I have a moral issue with the polls, by the way. We need to talk about that later.
A moral issue?
The word science is being bandied about.
I don't know what you're referring to, Charles. The veracity of our polling cannot be doubted. Speaking of the Poinen and Askai fights, there's a dev blog all about them. There's also a couple new dev blogs coming out about, you know, well, the dev blog that came out was basically breaking down stats. What was destroyed, how much, and what circumstances. They also released a similar stat blog for bounties. They announced that dueling is going to be coming back in. This was a big deal for Crime Watch because it removed the capability to have can flip duels. So they're going to actually bring back just an actual dueling mechanic. Like, I want to duel you, pop-up comes up on your screen, yeah, I accept the duel, and you go fight. And the other thing is armor tanking. There's going to be a few changes. I don't think they're too controversial, but we can talk about them a little bit. They're basically adding an ancillary armor booster, much like the ancillary shield booster. It's not going to work quite the same, though, but it's going to have some kind of ammunition that you consume, and it gives you a bonus effect while you have the ammo, and when you don't, it's a slightly reduced effect compared to the equivalent armor repair. I think it's going to be great. They're also removing the velocity penalties for the active armor rigs, like ancillary nano pump. Well, excuse me, auxiliary nano pump. So the resistance rigs will still have velocity penalties, but the armor rep rigs no longer will.
Are they flat out removing it, or are they replacing it?
They're replacing it with something else that will not make your ship as slow as a rock.
Brilliant. I'm down for that. I think it's going to be really good, especially for sort of small PvP, like small gang or solo PvP. I'm gutted Kill 2's... Oh, there's some news we haven't talked about. Kill 2's gone to CCP.
Oh, yeah, Kill 2 added to the balance team. That was not out in the dev blog, but was out on his YouTube account.
I've got a shout-out. Shout-out to Kill 2 for being an absolute legend and making it to CCP. Good work, buddy. Well done. I applaud you. There you go.
They actually hinted at this during the CSM Summit minutes, or during the CSM Summit, rather, but they didn't even tell us the name. They just said that we were adding somebody to the balance team, and it was an EVE player. It's like, oh, okay. They said we would be pleasantly surprised, and I am.
Yeah, definitely. His knowledge, I mean, you saw him at the Alliance tournaments. He's just good, isn't he? He knows EVE inside out. I think he's going to be a really sort of solid input when it comes to general PvP and stuff. I think he's very specific, though. My only concern is, obviously, he does like a very specific area of EVE, doesn't he?
But I think it's a good compliment to Fozzy.
Definitely.
Who came from sort of the big Pandemic Legion level super cap fighting and all that stuff. So to have the two of them, who are both familiar with each other's world, but who really live in each of those worlds, to have them collaborating, I think is very exciting.
Plus, I think he's...
Sissibi Ytterbium, who I'm not... I mean, I assume he plays EVE, but I wasn't aware of, you know, his character or anything like that. But to have sat down with that guy and just watched him, like, he knows the stats of ships. He's got them memorized, like the amount of grid and the ferox and all that stuff. Like, that's how hardcore this dude is.
Yeah. But yeah, back to the AAR. I think the reason that I thought of Kill 2 was because of the, you know, sort of the small gang. So I could imagine, I could really, like, the first thing I thought was, I can't wait to see Kill 2, like, building AAR sort of solo ships to sort of go round ganking on his own with, and I remember he's not going to be doing it anymore, is he? His stream's got a cut, so.
Well, just to go on in his honor, you know what I mean? Have like a micro jump drive, auxiliary armor repair vindicator.
Yes, I'm going to have it. A micro jump drive as the armor repair Drake. But yeah, I mean, it really is going to open up. Again, we're sort of back to the meta thing, aren't we? But I think this is really going to make a big difference to have that burst tank that you get from the shields at the moment. To have that in armor, suddenly you've got all the armor ships opened up to small gang, like really opened up to sort of small gang PvP. And that is going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Pretty much every Galantis ship with a repper bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
The Hyperion, which is like the redheaded stepchild of battleships for such a long time. That thing's back in. Bigger, kicking, badder, yeah. Better than ever with the blaster buff before that, and now the armor buff. Woo!
Yes. Swarming in Cursus fleets.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to certainly be interesting to see. Again, just like the jump drive, seeing what people do with this is going to be great fun.
All right. CSM segment. Give you an update on the stakeholder process. We've been involved in the theme planning process as promised in the CSM minutes. We submitted our own themes. The way it worked was each CSM candidate was allowed to submit themes. I think we all committed to submitting at least one of the active CSMs anyway. And some of us submitted two. I submitted two. And it was very interesting. They took them. We know that they read them because like our PowerPoint slides were included in the short list of things that made the actual theme. And the actual theme has been picked. It was sort of an overlap. Like, obviously, so the way it works is we got to see a feature menu, basically, from all the different teams. Like, we could do feature A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all this sort of stuff we could do in time for the release. But we can't do all of these things, so we had to go prioritize these items for each of the teams and organize them in such a way that they made sense under a theme, like the way bounties made sense under retribution. But something bigger, a little bit broader, that encompassed several features. And so we took that approach and did it, sent it in to Seagull. Seagull said, oh, this one looks good as a theme, this one looks good as a theme. And there were several CCP and CSM presentations that sort of struck the same note. And it looks like she went with the overlap of those various submissions. And I think people will be pretty pleased. I can't be mad because one of mine made the shortlist. So it is one of the themes that I suggested. And I want to take all credit. A lot of people suggested this theme. I think it's a really good theme. But
what theme is it?
I can't tell you the theme. Like, I'm sure they're going to announce it and all that stuff.
Aww.
But I can tell you at least that the CSM was listened to. Basically the reason I'm telling you all this. The process is working. CCP really is committed to taking our feedback seriously this time. So things are looking very much up, and we've got another meeting on Monday to go over the short list of features. So now that we have these themes and we have the long list of features, now figure out, okay, what's in scope, what's not in scope. If we have to cut this, is it worth it? Should we cut this instead? Kind of thing, because they only have so many months to do this expansion. And having talked with Seagull as like a pre-planning thing, I think the result is going to be very positive. And I really look forward to be able to disclose more details and have CCP announce the sort of end result. I'm sure they're not going to do everything right away, because otherwise what would they have dev blogs about? But hopefully get the broad theme out there and maybe one or two headline features just to give something for people to look forward to. And I assure you, there will be a lot to look forward to. Speaking of future expansions, CSM 8, the campaign season is already underway. Candidates are announcing their candidacies. They're having arguments with each other. They're shit posting. It's great. The official candidacy has not been opened yet, so what you're seeing now is a lot of pre-campaigning, I guess you would say. People getting their names out there and trying to establish themselves in the field. Crossing Zebras is there another great podcast for you guys to check out if you haven't, crossingzebras.com. They're keeping a running list of people that are have basically put threads up or otherwise declared that they're running, and they've confirmed people that are not running either, mostly incumbents from CSM7 and Poetic Stanzel, who for some reason is included with the rest of us. He is not running because he doesn't want his real name to be out there. Wonder why,
considering
the content of his blog.
Dude, you gotta warn him first. Apply tinfoil now.
I'm gonna put my little hat on. So,
please wrap the head of the person sitting next to you before wrapping your own.
Oh, dude. So I think that's no big loss. As far as the field, we've got Chendo Descent, Cypra, Dehan Minhyak, Herr Ronin, Hunter Blake, Melkanis, Mangala Solaris, Mark Scaris, Mike Azariah is running again. I think that's his third go. Mino Nude, Naud, whatever. Mina, the Goonstorm candidate. Check out our previous episode if you want to hear him. Nathan Jameson, Ripard Teg has decided to run, as we also discussed on our last episode. And Rock Wheeler.
I'm definitely going to run as a CSM8 candidate.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
You should, puppy.
Definitely. I'm actually serious. It's something I was thinking about for doing for a while.
Alright, excellent. Years ago.
But I really am going to do it. Like, no troll.
Do you want to
No troll, I will promote that.
Brand your campaign slogan now?
Sure. Give me one. Hit me.
No, dude, we already fucking talked about it, dude. You know what it is.
No, I don't. I have no idea.
If they make you CSM...
Yes. I might bake a cake.
Bake a cake.
Might make.
They can let Poetic eat it.
Yeah. His little tinfoil, little cup. I'll make you a little tinfoil cup and spoon.
Might make sex line version 2.
And a spoon.
I definitely would do that. I'm wondering whether that would be enough to get me into the CSM. Hi, I know nothing about Eve. I pretty much suck. But I did a really funny video once, so I'll do it again if you make me a CSM.
Okay, so TLDR, everyone. This is Puppy UK. You should vote for him for CSM. He did a really funny live prank where he called a sex line, which you'll hear at the end of this podcast. And if you make him CSM again, or I suppose for the first time, rather, he will make a sequel. TLDR.
Heard it first, and
this
I will call
it. Interesting. Now, let's get down to the tax here. What's your base? Who are you trying to target here? Are you going for people that are subscribing to your YouTube channel? Are you trying to appeal to 00 guys? Are you the NC dot candidate? Brand yourself while you have the microphone.
I think to me, I've always been quite a general player. I mean, my nullsec time sort of comes and goes. I tend to sort of do a year or two in nullsec and then sort of move out. But yeah, I think my strengths, the bulk of my game knowledge is certainly 00 based, and that's really where I would call home. But yeah, I mean, obviously, for me, as it comes to sort of input to the game, I think certainly nullsec is going to be the place where I'm going to have the most to say, I guess. But yeah, it's just it's more the sort of I think if anything, sort of I'm not really. Although obviously I fly with the NC, I love the guys I fly with. But it's just looking at it as a whole, there's a big picture, I think, and sort of looking at what can be changed and what can sort of make it more fun. I think nullsec at the moment is just really stagnant. I'm certainly not enjoying it as much as I used to, with the exception of the massive fight that I missed. But yeah, that would certainly be where I'd be looking to make a lot of the changes, or sort of trying to influence the most, is definitely out in nullsec.
Alright, very cool. I've leaked your announcement to the other podcasters on the PodPack channel. So.
You're sneaky.
Quite a get.
That's it. I'm in. I'm done.
You're in. Now you're committed.
I've booked my ticket. I'm off to Iceland. See you later.
They made you CSM.
Yeah. That's a breaking story there.
Well, that's it for episode 43, guys. Go to declarationsofwar.com to participate in our show polls, leave a comment, or throw in a donation. Podcast is listener supported, and the donations, recurring donations, which we could definitely use more of, even if it's only $1 a month, that would be awesome. And our sponsorships, they help pay for hosting, editing, cool things we hope to bring in the future. Donate a Plex, that helps too. If that's your if you're space rich, it would definitely be helpful. Give us your space riches. You can reach Noir via our public channel, CafeNoir.com. And apply to join us. You can get there on our forums, www.normerks.com. Fill out the application and give Turtle Plex now. He has typed officially into our show notes to please give him Plex. So enjoy this live phone call of Puppy UK calling a British sex line.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing, all right?
Hiya.
Good. I've got a bit of a scenario I'd like to do with you.
You've got a bit of a scenario?
Yeah. Can I explain it to you?
Interesting.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Basically, I'm a spaceship pilot. Oh, crap, hold on, I'm being shot. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm a spaceship pilot.
Yeah.
I'm actually genuinely being killed on a gate right now, which isn't very good. I'm actually about to die in my ship. Shit, I'm not even joking, I'm actually going to die in my ship. But I have to stay in space. Hold on, I need to just get my pod out. Hold on one second. Right, so I'm a pilot in space, and I'm stuck in my spaceship quite a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I get lonely in my spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like you to come and keep me company.
Okay.
Can you do that for me?
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Can you tell me, well, I'm not actually in a spaceship anymore because I just lost it, but I'm in a pod, and, I'm vibrating too. So what would we do, in this pod?
Well, we're vibrating.
Well, I was, but I've stopped now.
Oh, I'd love to suck you all over and kiss you all over and we could, like, fuck ourselves silly.
You wouldn't get in the way of the controls, though.
Is it a very small pod?
It's quite tight. But I can go and get in another ship if you'd like me to.
No, I like the sound of the pod. I like it tight and snug.
Awesome.
I like it tight and snug so we don't move around too much.
We need to move around, though, because they come in...
Yeah, we can move around, but if it's like really tight and snug,
yeah.
There's not enough, we don't really bang into things, but we can't exactly be overly acrobatic, can we?
I like being, but it depends really on the ship. Some ships can be quite acrobatic.
I thought you said we were in a pod.
Well, you see, the pod is kind of a ship, but like, the pod is like a safety mechanism. Like, when you lose your ship, you stay in your pod. And then you can use that pod to get to another ship, kind of.
To transfer from point A to point B.
Kind of, yeah, but you need to be really careful not to sit on the self-destruct button.
Wow. Yeah. So how are you going to fuck my arse, then?
I could use my Titan.
Use your whose?
My Titan.
What's that?
It's a very big ship. And it can doomsday.
You're so sexy.
Would you? Am I? Awesome. Would you like?
I thought you were going to use your cock.
I was gonna, but the Titan's a bit bigger. But it takes longer to lock. Locking time's very important. I could sensor boost you.
Pardon?
I could sensor boost you.
Uh-huh.
Lifts my scam wrist, raises it.
Oh, wow.
Would you like me to raise my scam wrist for you? Awesome. I could put a Trimark plate on. That would give me a larger radius.
Uh-huh.
Is that important? A nice big radius?
Uh-huh.
Good, 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 good. What else? What else is important?
I am making my pussy quiver.
Awesome. So tell me what else we're doing. I'm back in the station now, but I'm still in my pod.
Now I'm going to get down on my knees.
Are you?
Uh-huh.
Watch that self-destruct button.
Pardon?
Careful for the self-destruct button.
That's alright. Good. I'm not that big, so anyway.
Good, good. It's only a small pod. Couldn't have anyone big in here.
And I want to taste what you've got between your legs in my mouth.
My joystick?
Your joystick sounds lovely.
We need to stop for a moment. I need to go and empty some moon goo.
What's that?
Well, the moons in this system, we can pull goo out of them to sell, and I need to haul some goo. Can you help me haul some goo?
How long is that going to take?
Oh, not too long. It's only a quick warp.
Okay.
Would you like some of the goo?
All over me, yeah. Splash it over my tits.
Fantastic.
As long as it doesn't burn my skin.
I don't think so. It's quite valuable, though.
Valuable?
Yeah.
Like what?
Oh, good. Well, you can make about 3 billion isk a month.
Really?
Yeah. You can buy... I could buy a new ship like the one I just lost.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Wow.
But it's a...
Wow.
Yeah.
It's come in a bottle for me.
Awesome. I'll do that for you. But you need... You'll need quite a bit of it to siege.
Pardon?
Would you like me to siege for you?
Uh-huh.
It means that I can hit a lot harder, but I can't move.
You can't move?
No, but I can hit a lot harder. And I have a lot more... Well, my hull is a lot stronger. Strength is important, especially if you've got 50 battleships.
You've got 50 battleships?
Oh yeah, I've got lots of battleships. Oh, I just lost one though, I'm quite upset about that. My teammates left me, but I don't care because there's someone in my ship with me.
Me.
And they're all on their own.
I'm there with you.
Are you? Awesome. What are you doing?
What am I doing right now?
Yeah.
I'm watching you.
You're watching me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching you.
I'm just running my hands over my...
Ooh.
Over my tits.
Are you... Where are you?
Where am I?
Yeah, whereabouts?
I'm sitting facing you.
Fantastic. Are you on the dashboard?
Well, I'm careful not to squash the controls.
Good girl.
Like
you
me.
Mean hit the self-destruct button?
I'm just perched.
Perfect.
Carefully.
And what are you doing perched in my pod?
I'm watching you and I'm slowly stroking myself.
I've got to concentrate on this mungu.
Who's concentrating on the mungu? You?
The mungu? The mungu. Mungu. Can you do me a favour? I have to go quite shortly, but can you say a few words for me?
Like what?
I'd like you to say avatar.
Avatar.
That's good. Can you say doomsday?
Doomsday.
I'll say it again.
Avatar Doomsday.
Yeah, I've got a tricky one for you now. It's going to be... Right, listen carefully. What the fuck pwned? Try
what the fuck what?
Pwned. Like,
what the fuck pwned?
That, pwned. P-W-N-T, pwned.
Uh-huh, what the fuck pwned?
Yeah, say it again.
What the fuck pwned?
Yeah, now tell me you want an avatar in your ass.
I'd love to have an avatar in my arm.
Would you like me to let off my doomsday?
Pardon?
Let off my doomsday.
To let off my doomsday.
Oh, that's done me, sweetheart. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye to 50 people on TeamSpeak. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Say bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, sweetheart. You've been fantastic. Oh, damn right I am.
Oh, my God, we love you.
In my spaceship.
That was classic.